Tribes, chapter 18. Nothing was ever as much fun as those next few weeks with the tribes. Chases with the other gangs, mischief in the mall, getting up to all sorts of tricks and games. Nothing bad, Kevin convinced himself. What was so wrong with playing football on the bowling green or riding their bikes at night over the local golf course? Fun, that was all it was. There were new games to be learned, exciting games, dangerous games. But after the walk of death, nothing seemed dangerous anymore. Anyway, they were the tribe, with a reputation to uphold, a reputation that they were afraid of nothing. Kevin, who had always been the sensible one, the down-to-earth schoolboy, was caught up in the sheer exhilaration of being one of them. "I never thought I'd see the day when you'd be a member of a gang, Kevin," Mr. Lever at the paper shop said. "You disappoint me." Kevin didn't like disappointing people, but they just didn't understand. "It's not like you think," he tried to explain. "We just have fun together. Great fun." But no one understood. No one. You had to be one of the tribe to understand. The feeling that you were the best. How could Kevin ever explain that? He left his job at the newsagents anyway. There wasn't time to deliver papers. Not when all the rest of the tribe were off on one of their exploits. He didn't have time for homework either. And that he couldn't explain. "You're grounded if you don't start working harder at school, Kevin," his mother said. She tried to keep things from his dad, but she wouldn't do that forever. Dad noticed anyway. "I told you these gangs were nothing but trouble," he said. He was becoming increasingly worried and anxious about the changes he saw in Kevin. But what changes? Kevin thought. The only changes in him were for the better. He felt alive, really alive. But he promised to keep up with his homework if they would just leave him alone about the tribe. He'd stay out of trouble, he assured them. That was more difficult than he thought. "Let's skip school tomorrow," Salam said one night as they sat in the mall. "The weather's great and we could go up the hill to the old reservoir, have a cookout, swim." Tori jumped in the air. "Brilliant! It's been ages since we did that. We could build a fire, boil spuds. I'll bring the pot." "And I'll bring the spuds," Doc said almost enthusiastically. He looked at Kevin. "What do you say?" Inside, Kevin was groaning. He had only just promised his mum and dad to behave, not let the tribe interfere with his schoolwork, and here he was being asked to take a whole day of school. He'd never done that before, never been the type to do it. "It's only one day," Salam said, as if he could read Kevin's mind. "No one will ever know." "Will you get into trouble from mummy?" Doc said in that sarcastic way of his. "So will I. I always do, but I'm willing to risk it." Tori laughed. "You boys and your problems with your parents. You should have a mum and dad like mine. They don't give a big green bogey what I do." With that, he drew one out from somewhere deep inside his brain and flicked it over their heads. "Gross, Tori," Doc yelled, laughing. He shrugged, almost with pride. Salam said nothing. Would his parents mind if they found out? "I'll have to bribe Gloria to keep her mouth shut," Kevin said, and knew then that he'd already decided. "Tell her she can be our mascot," Salam said with a grin. "More like our unlucky charm," Kevin said. So it was decided, and Kevin went home excited and something else, that something else feeling he only had with the tribe. The next day dawned cloudless and hot. Even in the early morning, workmen in the street were labouring, stripped to the waist. Women sat in their gardens having breakfast, dressed in shorts, enjoying the late summer heatwave. Kevin, armed with bottles of lemonade and crisps, met Salam and the others at the chippy, and together they began the long trek up the hill, over the burn, through bracken and swamps, heading for the reservoir. It was a long, arduous walk, but that didn't matter. The walk itself was part of the fun. Tori was at his best, telling jokes so stupid they couldn't stop laughing at them. Even Doc was smiling. The reservoir was deserted and quiet, except for a wood pigeon somewhere in the distance, hooting an early morning call. They threw themselves on the grass and surveyed the view. It was breathtaking. The reservoir overlooked the town and the river, and from here they could see all the way down to where the estuary opened out to the Irish Sea. And across the river, the hills and bends, purple and majestic, rolling one behind the other to the horizon. "This is a brilliant place to live," Kevin said, and meant every word. "It's a dump," Tori claimed. "My dad told me." "That's because your dad hasn't worked since you were born, and the only view he ever appreciated was the bottom of a bottle." Kevin waited for Tori to jump on Doc in defence of his dad. Instead, he only laughed. "Never said a truer word, Doc." "You see things different, Kev," Salam said. "You see good things when everybody else only sees the bad." His dad had instilled that in him. "Look for beauty in everything, Kevin, and beauty is what you'll find." Some people call that being stupid. This was Doc. His smile had gone. Someday, Kevin decided, he would ask Doc why he disliked him so much. Someday, but not today. Today was meant only for fun. Let's swim, Torrey screamed, stripping right down to his trunks. Danger signs were dotted all around the reservoir, warnings that swimming was forbidden. There had been drownings here, people caught up in the reeds and currents that lurked below the still waters. Yet they ignored them. So did Kevin, sensible Kevin. He helped push the signs down and ran into the water as enthusiastically as the rest. They splashed and swam and played and laughed as the sun rose higher and hotter and the morning wore on. Kevin built the fire for them. Thank goodness for the Boy Scouts, he laughed. And they filled the pot with water from the reservoir and threw in the potatoes. Then they lay in the long grass and told jokes and stories as they waited for the water to boil. Is this not the best time you've ever had? Torrey asked him. He didn't even have to think about the answer. It sure is. The sun beat down, drying their trunks on them. Kevin drew in a deep breath, smelling the peat from the hills and the pine trees and the wood fire. Memories, he thought, memories of a perfect day. This is a feast fit for a fat old king, Salome joked as they ate their potatoes and beans washed down with the lemonade. I don't want to eat anything but spuds and beans ever again, Torrey yelled. Kevin agreed. Nothing had ever tasted so good. So how did you bribe Glory? Salome asked him later as they munched on crisps. Well, it wasn't easy. He wasn't sure how they were going to take this. But I said she could come out with us one night. There was an immediate wail of protest from Doc. A girl? Kevin added quickly. Only for a couple of hours. It was the only way I could get her to take a note into my teacher. He watched for Salome's reaction. To his relief, Salome's face broke into a wide grin. No problem, he said. Torrey agreed, but then he always did agree with Salome. If Salome says it's okay with me. Doc still wasn't convinced. But his sister, he moaned, she's as daft as a brush. Now that was exactly Kevin's opinion of Glory, but hearing it come from someone else annoyed him more than he expected. Maybe he did like his sister after all. She makes me laugh, Salome said. I think she likes you too, Kevin told him, and was immediately sorry. Torrey sat bolt upright. Glory and Salome, just like Romeo and Juliet. Salome lifted a half-eaten potato and threw it at him. Torrey threw it back and Salome began to chase him through the long grass. Kevin joined them and so did Doc. They whooped like Apaches on the warpath, catching each other, fighting, laughing, until once again they were all in the water, splashing about and swimming. In the late afternoon, they gathered up their belongings and began to make their way round the old reservoir to the path that led back down to the town. A group of boys with pots and pans clanking in their rucksacks, their hair still damp from their swim. Boys with not a care in the world. Kevin stopped at the brow of the hill looking back at the reservoir with the sun glittering like a thousand diamonds on the water, at the long grass swaying in the September breeze. He breathed in the clear air, filling his lungs. He listened to the birds, heard again the wood pigeon in some distant tree. What are you thinking? Salome asked him. I'm remembering everything, he said, not caring if it sounded stupid. Somehow he didn't think it would to Salome. Taking a picture in my mind. I don't ever want to forget today, Salome. This has been the best day of my life.